Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother in Christ and host of this broadcast, am going to present to you another proposition this evening, which would give us 40 propositions out of the 95 that we intend to give you when all is said and done. My goal for giving you these 95 propositions is to highlight, to underscore, to present to you, to bring to the fore the abuses and malpractices going on in the African American church being perpetrated, and these, of course, are spiritual abuses, spiritual malpractices. Let me qualify the statement. But they're being perpetrated by a group of men and women who are bringing Roman Catholic episcopacy into the African American church. This organization calls itself the Joint College of African American Bishops. And they are the ones guilty of introducing confusion on all kinds of levels. On all kinds of levels. So I want to welcome all of my listeners from Norway, Germany, South Africa, Ghana, Canada, Great Britain, and parts of the Caribbean, the United States. Welcome you all tonight as we take care of the Lord's business, the Lord's business. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I can almost say this, and say it without any reservation. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that I am the only person out there tackling this problem, this invasion of the Roman Catholic Church into the African American community, African American church community, that is. And thus far, we've presented 39 propositions that we haven't heard yet from any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops, even though they boast of having scholars and orators and, you know, sages in their midst. We haven't heard yet. We haven't heard yet from any one of these, and we don't know if we will. We don't know if we will. My next book, Draconian Tsunami, will be out very, very soon. I'm just waiting to see someone promise to do the book cover. Artistically, I gave them a concept that I wanted for the book cover, and I'm just waiting to see if this person can deliver on the concept that I gave them. I already had a book cover selected. I have all of the 12 book covers for all of my 12 books already selected, but this person, in conversation, in passing, asked me to give them the opportunity to do this book cover, so I'm waiting. And I am hoping that they can deliver. So the book will be released shortly, Draconian Tsunami. It's based on Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. And if you want to see the other books that we have already released, we've released two books to commemorate this 500th anniversary. The first book is A Jackass Church Bishops. Now, that's a phenomenal book. Outstanding book. Those who purchased the book, those who read the book, have given me rave reviews. And listen, I'm just not name calling. I'm showing you, based on Roman Catholic history, that these African American bishops in the Black Church of America are jackasses. I connect the dots historically. I connect the dots theologically. The Roman Catholic Church has an infatuation with donkeys, with jackasses. They do. They do. Now, let me just read something to you very quickly, very quickly. In Van Dyke's book, Joseph S. Van Dyke, that is, in his book on popery, The Foe of the Church, he has a chapter on relics, on relics, on relics, on relics. He has a chapter on relics and how the Roman Catholic Church pushes relics. One of their relics, according to Van Dyke, on page 149 of his book, he writes, at Burgos, which is an Italian, at Burgos, they have the tail of Balaam's ass as a relic for people to venerate. Yes, at Burgos, the Roman Catholic Church had the tail of Balaam's ass. Now, that's just one example. That's one example I can give you out of the hundreds of books that I researched on how the Roman Catholic Church has an infatuation with the donkey. With the donkey. And I did the research, and I prove how today's African-American bishops, who are stooges of Rome, are Rome's new herd, new troop of jackasses. So the book is called Jackass Church Bishops. Phenomenal book. Phenomenal. If I may say so myself. And the other book that we released was Nehushtan Church Bishops, where I show that the African American leadership today has taken episcopacy, because, you know, the Lord Jesus gave his church episcopacy. The Lord Jesus gave the church the bishopric. We know that to be true. just like God told Moses to fashion a brazen serpent. Now, when Moses made the brazen serpent, it was not to be worshipped. When Jesus gave episcopacy, it was not to be worshipped. But in the hands of the devil, the brazen serpent Moses made was eventually worshipped, and today in the hands of these Roman Catholic stooges in the black church, they have taken episcopacy and they've turned it into an idol. Thus the title Nehushtan Church Bishops, because the brazen serpent Moses made, Hezekiah called it Nehushtan, an idol, a thing of brass. And so Nehushtan Church Bishops just shows how now these Roman Catholic dimwits have taken the Lord's episcopacy and they have turned it into a thing to be worshipped. Both books are theological, the historical. Each book has close to 300 footnotes apiece. I make my arguments, and you can find those books at paganbishops.com. You can go to www.paganbishops.com. You can read the write-up. You can read what the books are about. And my brothers and sisters, if you were to order them, you would be blessed. Your eyes would be open. They're books full of revelation. Full of revelation. So Draconian Tsunami, the third of the 12, is about to be released soon. It should have been released already. I'm just waiting for this individual to make the cover, and let's see if it's to my liking. But tonight, we're going to be talking about what else? What else are we going to be talking about but the Joint College of African American Bishops, which, as I shared with you before, they are nothing more than an institution that peddles confusion. 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 So let me read to you proposition number 40. And it states, the Joint College of African American Bishops is considered by many in Romish Anglican circles to be fostering confusion by changing long established excuse me, dear saints, I'm battling some congestion. Let me read this to you again. The Joint College of African American Bishops is considered by many in Romish Anglican circles to be fostering confusion by changing long-established episcopal dress codes. Now, the Roman Catholic Church is an institution that fosters confusion. The Anglican Church is an institution that fosters confusion. What kind of confusion, you may ask? Spiritual confusion is my answer. They foster, both the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church foster, promote, peddle confusion. The Roman Catholic Church is great at fostering confusion. The Anglican Church is great at mimicking confusion. But here are these two institutions. While they traffic in confusion, they are claiming that this dopey institution called the Joint College of African American Bishops, those who traffic in confusion are claiming that the Joint College of African American Bishops is promoting even more confusion. Now, you would think that the Roman Catholic Church would be happy about that and that the Anglican Church would be happy about that. But you see, the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church, they like ordered confusion. They like, in other words, how does the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church maintain their confusion? How is it in a box? For example, the Roman Catholic Church will talk about there being no gay marriage, and they'll talk about celibacy and the infallibility of the Pope, and they'll promote relics and the veneration of idols, and you can go on and on, the rosary and the candles. And we can go on and on and on how the Roman Catholic Church is just promoting all kinds of spiritual confusion. But their confusion is longstanding. In other words, they've been preaching on purgatory, and they have one doctrine on it, and then they don't deviate from that. They have one idea of what is the bishopric, and they don't deviate from that. They have one idea about the co-ability of Mary to redeem the world with Christ, and they do not deviate from that. In other words, they're promoting confusion, but you know that their confusion doesn't change. The Roman Catholic Church, a word that would best give us this idea of how their confusion doesn't change is they have long-standing traditions. They have long-standing traditions, and the Roman Catholic Church is not one to move away from its traditions. Now, its traditions are all confusion, but they have disordered confusion in that they don't deviate from the playbook. The Anglican Church, which is a daughter of the Mother of Harlots, the Anglican Church also has what? Ordered confusion. Now, they promote all kinds of confusion, all kinds of spiritual confusion. What they teach you can't find in the Bible. There's no biblical basis for anything that they teach. Yet, you know that the Anglicans are not going to deviate from their playbook because, again, they have long-standing traditions. Well, here comes the Joint College of African American Bishops, and while they're into vestments and they're into the purple and the scarlet, they are introducing confusion when it comes to the Episcopal dress code, and that is ticking off those in the Romish Anglican circles. Because the Joint College of African American Bishops, like a Mickey Mouse organization that it is messing up things. And those who are committed to long-standing Romish and Anglican traditions don't like when somebody comes in and plays willy-nilly couple dress codes. Now, while they complain about that, it just helps prove that the Joint College of African American Bishops is not of God, for he, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, he is not the author of confusion. Now, I have no love relationship with the Roman Catholic Church. I have no love relationship with the Anglican Church. In my estimation, the Roman Catholic Church is the mother of harlots, and the Anglican Church is her first daughter. You know this already. I've been saying this. So I'm not defending the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm not defending the Anglican Church. They're both anathema. But please consider that when you get accused by Rome and when you get accused by those in the Church of England during confusion, when they are, they're the best at it. When you get accused of being Mickey Mouse, when you get accused of being junior varsity, when you get accused of messing up things, when you get accused of that by those who for millennia have been messing up everything, you really have to be bad. And that's my point about the Joint College of African American Bishops. The Joint College of African American Bishops is so confused that those who specialize in confusion are calling them out for being confused. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. The Joint College of African American Bishops is so way out there, so amateurish, that those who specialize in deceiving the masses, leading the masses astray, those who specialize in ritual, dead traditions, are calling out the Joint College of African American Bishops for messing up their ordered confusion. Their ordered confusion. And I'll just play some audio for you to prove it. But this just goes to prove, listen, folks, I'm not on the Roman Catholic side. I'm not on the Anglican side. I'm not on their team. But even they can't stomach the Joint College of African American Bishops, especially what they're doing by fostering confusion when it comes to changing long-established Episcopal dress codes. They don't like it. Who told this Mickey Mouse organization that they can change the colors on vestments, that they can change the significance on vestments? Who told this Mickey Mouse organization that they can foster and introduce confusion? What they don't realize is that the Joint College of African American Bishops is a confused organization to begin with. Its founders were confused. The four men who set out to establish this organization were confused. They were confused. In fact, here is the bishop. Here is one of the founding four bishops. Here he is. Here is one of the four founding bishops of the Joint College of African American Bishops. And he's going to tell you why the Joint College of African American Bishops is important. And the words can't even come out of his mouth because he doesn't know what to say. That's how confused he is. He is so lost. I don't even know why they put this up on YouTube. In this videotape, the man actually sounds like a bumbling fool. He sounds confused. This is supposed to be an infomercial. And the only bit of information I got was that this guy is confused. He doesn't know what to say. He's looking up in the air. He's hoping that maybe someone wrote it somewhere because he's at a loss for words. Listen to this.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important?
You see, he's looking up in the air. He's rolling his eyes. He's trying to see, can anybody tell me why it's important? I mean, he's got a cameraman there. He's got a guy. They got a makeup guy there. He's got makeup on. The camera's rolling. The lights. The lights. He's got a whole video crew there. And he's looking to see, okay, where's the cue cards? Because I'm at a loss for words. Now, this is supposed to be the guy that they picked to run this organization, and he's confused. Let me read it to you. Chapter 1, verse 17. Let me read it to you. One late afternoon, this is chapter 1 on page 17. The chapter is called In the Beginning, the Need. One late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African American Pentecostal community. After a lengthy discussion, a telephone call was made to Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton of New Orleans, Louisiana. Bishop Morton expressed his desire to join these men in forming this college, and Bishop Ellis, the one on this video, was elected to preside over this venture. In other words, they picked the smartest one out of the four. Because why else would he be picked to be the president? Why else? But let's listen to the president. Let's listen to what he has to say. Why is the Joint College important? Here, in his own words.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important?
Now, while he's looking for the answer, I could have done three loads of laundry and cooked dinner and served my family and done the dishes by the time he comes up with the answer. The man is confused. The man is confused. He doesn't even know why it's important. This is an infomercial. This guy is supposed to be on the ball. He's supposed to know what he's got to say. He's not supposed to be looking for cue cards. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, this is only a two-minute video. What do you need a cue card for a two-minute video? You don't need cue cards. But he is frantically, he's looking. I mean, you have to see the video. I mean, he's looking everywhere to see if they wrote the answer somewhere. Or maybe he's expecting for God's finger to write it on the wall, like in Daniel 5. But the man is confused. He's doing an infomercial. He's supposed to be providing us with information and a reason to want to be part of this institution, but the guy is lost. He's lost. Here it is again. Here it is.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important?
I could have went to the car wash. I could have filled up my car with gas, taken the car to the car wash, and come back home and watched an episode of Andy Griffith, and he still wouldn't know what to say. The guy's lost. But this is the guy they picked. There were four men. The four decided that he would run this institution. And he's confused. So what does that tell you about the rest of them? What does that tell you? What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Well, it doesn't bode well. It doesn't speak well for the organization. I can tell you that much. When the guy running the institution, when the guy who is responsible for writing the articles of incorporation, for leading in the academic training of its so-called bishops, doesn't know why the Joint College of African American Bishops is important. And then, you know, you can do a bad taping. But then if you take a bad taping and you put it on YouTube, and you think that a bad taping is a good taping, then I really have to question your intelligence. If anybody can make a bad recording. So what do? You say, oh, I mean, they do it all the time in Hollywood. There are actors. The actors are saying their line. They're in character. The cameras are rolling. And then, they say a word. They mispronounce a word. or they step in the wrong spot and they're not where they're supposed to be, and they say one line before another line, and they stop rolling the camera. So they do another take. Well, this guy didn't do another take, and he thought this was so good that he put it on YouTube, and it's out there. So that tells me that the light bulb he's got is a 10-watt light bulb, because this is horrible. This is horrible. It's horrible, and it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. So now, again, I am not for the Catholic Church, as you know. All I do is blast the Catholic Church. I am not for the Anglican Church. No, I'm not. But here are two men. Here are two men having a conversation. And these two men belong to the Anglican Communion of Charismatic Churches. They belong to the Anglican Communion of Charismatic Churches. Now, why is that important? Because in this book, written by Bishop J. Delano Ellis, let me just read to you right here. This is important because I need to read something to you, which is of vital importance, because we need to know where J. Delano Ellis's heart is. Okay, so let me just pull this up out of his book and turning to it. Okay, on page 41, this is chapter 6. And this chapter is entitled Relationship with Other Religious Bodies. Relationship with Other Religious Bodies. It says, the Joint College of Bishops, speaking of the Joint College of African American Bishops, is Anglican apostolic by tradition. Did you hear that? It is what? Anglican apostolic by tradition, which means that they are in league, they're in bed with these guys, with this Anglican Communion of Charismatic Churches. Remember that the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. And this group, this audio that I'm going to play now, is produced by the Anglican Communion of Charismatic Churches. So Charismatic and Pentecostals, they're in bed together. And it's the Anglican Communion of Charismatic Churches. And Bishop Ellis says on page 41, this joint college is Anglican apostolic by tradition. So you can't get any closer than these two organizations. Yet this organization doesn't like what the Joint College of African American Bishops is doing, because the Joint College of African American Bishops is introducing confusion. Now, the bishop asking the questions is African American. He's black. The bishop answering the questions is white. Now, it is the black bishop, the African American bishop, who declares that there's a Pentecostal group out there introducing confusion. It's not the white guy who says it. It's the black guy. The black guy. So, the first few minutes of this is complete minutia. It's complete garbage. I could care less what cassock you wear, what color pantyhose you wear. I can care less about your pectoral cross and your Episcopal ring and your cassock and your shamia. And I can care less about your zucchetto. I can care less about your magic underwear. I can care less about your Episcopal ring. To me, it's all anathema. But this video is very insightful, because this is a tutorial. This is one Anglican bishop asking another Anglican bishop questions. This is a infomercial, just like the kind of infomercial that J. Delano Ellis was trying to give us. But as you can see, these two Anglican bishops know what they're talking about because they studied in depthly Roman Catholic and Anglican canon law. Now, you're going to have to put up with the first 5 minutes because it is minutia. It is horse manure. This is horse manure. Jesus never gave his apostles a zucchetto, a shamir, a cassock, a pectoral cross, a crozier, a mitre, anything. This is all the traditions of men. And we know what Jesus said about the traditions of men. They make the word of God inoperative. They nullify the word of God. So listen to this minutia. Listen to this nonsense. This is pure nonsense. Who cares what you wear? It's not about your outward appearance. It's about the heart. How many Roman Catholic priests were dressed like these guys and yet they were molesting kids? Give me a break. So here is this one bishop in Roman purple asking another bishop in Roman purple, dressed to the hilt, may I add, asking about what cassock should a bishop wear? Like if anyone really cares. Listen to this.
Ready? Okay, Bishop Ackerman, when we were at Holy Communion,
yeah,
you were not the chief celebrant.
Right.
But you also wore, if I'm correct, I thought you wore your house cassock.
Yes.
Now you're heading to a conference where you're not the chief celebrant.
Yeah.
So what will you wear?
Good question. To go back to the earlier one, the house cassock, which is the black with the purple piping, is called that because that's what the bishop wears in his office.
What am I? Is this Tim Gunn? Is this Project Runway? A purple cassock with piping? Is that what I'm listening to here? Come on. Who cares? What cassock do you wear? Are you the chief celebrant? Do you find the phrase chief celebrant in the Bible? No, you don't find that. You don't find that terminology in Scripture. This is nauseating. It's stupid talk. Talking about skirts. You're talking about faggot wear, and you're talking about the color of the piping. Come on now. Well, the hem. Let's look at the hem. How long is the hem? What kind of buttons do you have on there? This is crazy talk. But this is what they're talking about in the Anglican Communion of Charismatic Churches. Now notice, before the infomercial starts, he says to the cameraman, "Are you ready?" And this is flawless. They're having a conversation. The recording went perfect. Nobody stumbled. No one was looking up in the air. These two guys are very well versed in Roman Catholic Anglican canon law. They're well versed in that minutia. Here it is again.
Ready? Okay, Bishop Ackerman. When we were at Holy Communion,
yeah,
you were not the chief celebrant.
Right.
But you also wore, if I'm correct, I thought you wore your house cassock.
Yes.
Now you're heading to a conference where you're not the chief celebrant.
Yeah.
So what will you wear?
Good question. To go back to the earlier one, the house cassock, which is the black with the purple piping, is called that because that's what the bishop wears in his office when he is greeting people at his house, thus the house, or when he's teaching. So that is kind of a teaching cassock. To put it differently, it's sort of like the bishop's streetwear. The cassock, as you and I have on right now, would be called a choir cassock, or the kinds of cassocks that are worn for the sacraments. the different types of vesture the bishop would wear if he's invited to do something, for example, what I'll be doing in South Carolina, gives me the possibility of three choices. If I were speaking at morning prayer or evening prayer, I could wear a rosh and shamir, which is the English style. It's sometimes called parliamentary, and the reason for that is because some of the bishops, a number of the bishops in the Church of England, are also in the House of Parliament. And so when they go to the House of Parliament, they wear that as their streetwear, and then what they wear at Parliament. So that means that the English rosh and shamir is not really a sacramental vestment. In fact, it's not even a vestment. It's bishop's streetwear. But it's not improper to wear it for an office. That is a non-sacramental event. The black scarf,
right.
It was something called a tippet, was really worn by all clerics, not just bishops. So deacons, priests, and bishops would typically wear it, and it was a scarf. It kept everybody warm. In fact, most of them in England have pockets in them so that you can put some things in them. Now, the second possibility for me would be that I could say, okay, I'm going to be preaching at this event, so I wouldn't wear a cope and a mitre because that's what the celebrant is going to be wearing. I could if he invited me, but if I'm just going to be preaching, then I could wear what's called these days a contemporary rosh and a shamir. It's not that contemporary. It is really a prelatial shamir that has the inset lace with red, and then it would have over top of it a sleeveless vestment, which has been called a mantelletta.
Oh, a mantelletta. I'm going to put on a mantelletta. What does this remind you of? It reminds you of this. Listen to this.
This distinguished and very handsome man right next to me. This is Tim Gunn.
Welcome, designers.
Yeah!
Get some sleep tonight.
Yeah. Shop, shop, shop.
Like a halter diaper.
Go, go, go.
It is kind of an uh-oh. Poo-poo.
30 minutes to caucus. What?
No. Go, go, go.
Exuberant.
Sophisticated. What is that?
You have a conundrum.
I am not bored.
Go, go, go.
Pops out.
I love you.
I'm woeful.
Annie, get your gun.
Hey, this has definitely a wow factor potential.
Designers, 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 designers. Is anyone listening to me?
Yes,
yes,
yes, sir.
We're going to the runway, and we are going to have a fabulous show. Get the runway video extras at mylifetime.com.
Yes, yes, yes. Tim Gunn. We're listening to Tim Gunn here. Listen to this. This is, I mean, folks, come on. Does any lost soul, does any wayward person who needs Christ really cares to know about what the bishop is wearing?
These days, a contemporary rosh and a shamir. It's not that contemporary. It is really a prelatial shamir that has the inset lace with red, and then it would have over top of it a sleeveless vestment, which has been called a mantelletta.
Ooh, a mantelletta. I'm going to ask my wife to get me a mantelletta for Father's Day. I want a mantelletta. I should have requested it this year for Father's Day. Next year, I'm going to ask for a mantelletta.
That is strictly what a bishop would wear outside of his diocese. That is, the mozzetta, which is a shoulder cape, is properly worn by a bishop in his own diocese. That's not so much the custom any longer. It can be worn outside the diocese. But in origin, that carries with it a sense of having office in a particular diocese. So the sleeveless vestment called the contemporary roshet is a derivation of the mantelletta. The mantelletta being what a bishop wore when he was doing something in a church other than his own home diocese. The third choice would be to wear a cassock, the choir cassock, over top of it a short rochet, which sometimes can be called cotta, and then over top of the short rochet would be a shoulder cape, which comes down to here that is called a mozzetta, and that would be appropriate because...
If I was sitting in class, if I was a seminarian and I was sitting in this class, I would ask my fellow student to just shoot me. Just put me out of my misery. Who cares about this garbage? Who cares about all of your faggot wear? That's what it is. It's faggot wear. Who cares?
That would indicate the following. The first would indicate, oh, hello, Bishop, you're here for morning or evening prayer. That's what the English Rosh and Shmir would say. The second one would be, oh, hello, Bishop, you're here for the Eucharist, but you're obviously not the celebrant, probably the preacher. Or it could be asked by putting a stole around one's neck to help distribute communion to the people. The third one says, oh, hello, Bishop, you're here to walk in procession and to be a part of our event, but it wouldn't necessarily indicate what my function was.
So now I have to pick multiple choice, like if I really care. Who cares what you're here for? In fact, get lost. I don't care what you're here for. I'm not going to ask, oh, Bishop, you're here because, let me see, if you got this combination, it means you're here to cut the grass. Or, Bishop, maybe if you're wearing this rochet, maybe you're here because you're going to bootlick. This guy really thinks we're guessing. We're guessing what? Yeah, my question is, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Who invited you? Get lost.
You're here for morning or evening prayer. That's what the English Rosh and Shmir would say. The second one would be, oh, hello, Bishop, you're here for the Eucharist, but you're obviously not the celebrant, probably the preacher. Or it could be asked by putting a stole around one's neck to help distribute communion to the people. The third one says, oh, hello, Bishop, you're here to walk in procession and to be a part of our event, but it wouldn't necessarily indicate what my function was. Where I stand in line would make it clear to absolutely everybody. That is, where a bishop stands in line indicates what his function is at the liturgy. If he's the last in line, it means he's the celebrant. The bishop standing right in front of him would automatically be seen as the preacher.
Now, think about it. Think about all the things that you have to memorize there as a church member to figure out, what is my bishop going to do today? Is my bishop going to pick my nose today, or is he going to pick my pocket? What is my bishop going to do today? Let me figure it out. Where is he in the line? Where is he in the front of the line? Is he in the back of the line? Is he in the middle? If he's in the middle, what does that mean? If he's in the back, what does that mean? If he's in the front, what does that mean? If he's wearing a rochet, what does that mean if he's in the back? But if he's wearing the rochet and he's in the front, what does that mean? And if he's wearing the rochet but he's in the middle, what does that mean? Who cares? Bunch of jackasses.
Now, one last question.
Sure.
I've seen...
Now, here it is. Here's this black guy. And he's going to refer to the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops without naming them. Watch this. And he's going to talk about how they are introducing confusion. Listen to this.
The bishop standing right in front of him would automatically be seen as the preacher.
Now, one last question.
Sure.
I've seen the Archbishop of York at Parliament wear the black shamir.
Yes.
With the black tippet. Now, in liturgical services, evening services, or some day services, I see them wear the red.
Yes.
So why wear the black?
Okay. The black is the...
And the
matching. That's right, the black bands. Only
the black tippet with the black bands.
Only those with an earned doctorate formerly were allowed to wear the red shamir. And so the black was just indicative of the fact that this was a cleric without an earned doctorate. And then with an earned doctorate, the red would be worn. Well, honestly, while that's the origin, that's no longer the case. It's now just a matter of taste, to be really honest. And there are some who think that the black shows the more penitential nature, and therefore they wear it during Lent. Nice idea, but no cigar.
Okay.
Now listen intently, because now comes the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops.
Well, I've seen in some Pentecostal settings that we come from, Bishop Ordinaries will generally wear the black shamir, black band, and then those who are diocesan bishops or bishops on executive council. Well, bishops on executive council, they're generally wearing red, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then purple for those who are diocesan bishops. So
yeah.
I was just showing the contrast because Pentecostalism comes from the Methodists,
mm-hmm.
the Methodists from Anglicanism,
mm-hmm.
Take some things
and
they're separating them.
That's right.
Some things are being confused. So
it is.
Some things are being confused. And who's he referring to? The Joint College of African American Bishops, because I can tell you, when I read this dopey book by Bishop J. Delano Ellis, and I read, and the dopey book is entitled The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Church, I can tell you that there's a lot of confused things in here, because I have many books on the code of canon law, and when I look up at vestments, it doesn't match. Because, like this gentleman has said, they confused it. They're mixing the colors. Let's listen again.
Pentecostalism, which comes from the Methodists,
mm-hmm.
Methodists from Anglicanism,
mm-hmm.
Take some things
and
they're separating them.
That's right.
Some things are being confused. So
it is.
Many are Anglo-Catholic Pentecostals. But they don't understand why they're mixing and matching and grabbing.
Oh, you see, the Anglo-Catholic Pentecostals, and they don't understand why they're mixing and matching. In other words, they're stupid. Told you the Joint College of African American Bishops was an asinine institution. I wrote the book, Jackass Church Bishops. But here is a guy in bed with them. Because this guy belongs to the Anglican Communion of Charismatic Churches. And he's talking about his Episcopal brothers coming from the Pentecostal side who are mixing and matching and confusing things. In other words, they're JV, they're junior varsity. They don't have it down pat the way we do. They're a Johnny-come-lately institution. They are want-to-be bishops. And what they're doing is they're confusing everything. They are authors of confusion. Let's listen to this little bit again. And I hope you members of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Tim Gunn bishops are listening.
Bishops on executive council. Well, bishops on executive council, they're generally wearing red, everything,
mm-hmm.
And then purple for those who are diocesan bishops. So
yeah.
I was just showing the contrast because Pentecostalism comes from the Methodists,
mm-hmm.
the Methodists from Anglicanism.
Now you hear that? Pentecostalism, they come from the Methodists from Anglicanism. Now listen.
Take some things
and
they're separating them.
That's right.
Some things are being confused. So.
Some things, see, they're separating things and they're confusing them. They're confusing. Now, these are two confused men. These are two confused men who promote confused doctrines because they're not guilty of not promoting confusion. They are. But here are two men who are, as I said before, they're confused. These two guys are confused on the video. They're confused. Yet they have an ordered confusion. Because everything that they do is based on the code of canon law. Well, the Pentecostals are taking liberties. The Pentecostals are mixing and matching. The Pentecostals are introducing confusion. They're not doing things right. And these guys don't like it. That's why it's being brought up.
Those who are dying and bishops. So
yeah.
I was just showing the contrast because Pentecostalism comes from the Methodists,
mm-hmm.
Methodists from Anglicanism,
mm-hmm.
Take some things
yeah.
and they're separating them.
That's right.
Some things are being confused. So
it is.
Many.
And he agrees. It is. It is being confused. It is. So the one doing the teaching is agreeing with the one asking the questions, and that's why this video was put together, to show that they know what they're talking about, and they know what to do, and they have the right answers, but the Joint College of African American Jackass Bishops are the ones who are confused.
Are Anglo-Catholic Pentecostals, but they don't understand why they're mixing and matching and grabbing like.
Oh, see, the Anglo-Catholic Pentecostals. In other words, they come, they have a mixture of the Anglican Church, and the Anglican Church is the daughter of the Romish Church, so they're Anglo-Catholic Pentecostals. But they don't understand why they're mixing and matching. See, they're making, in other words, if Tim Gunn was evaluating the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, he would say to them, in fashion, one day you're in and the next day you're out. In other words, the Joint College of African American Bishops doesn't know what the heck it's doing. Amateurish group. Which the other groups don't respect.
Purple for those who are diocesan bishops. So
yeah.
I was just showing the contrast because Pentecostalism comes from the Methodists,
mm-hmm.
Methodists from Anglicanism,
mm-hmm.
Take some things
yeah.
and they're separating them.
That's right.
Some things are being confused. So
it is.
Many are.
Some things are being confused and the other guys. It is. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Take some things
yeah.
and they're separating them.
That's right.
Some things are being confused. So
it is.
Many are Anglo-Catholic Pentecostals,
right.
but they don't understand why they're mixing and matching and grabbing. Like even right now,
yeah.
with us wearing the cords.
Yes.
You know, generally, don't normally wear your cord with. Choir cassock.
We would wear this if we were vested as we were earlier. That is to say, you and I had other vesture on, so we would wear this. If we were wearing the house cassock, we'd be wearing the chain with it.
Correct.
So,
and what's the correct length for?
It actually is supposed to come down to here so that it can be tucked into
in.
The pocket. The only reason for tucking it into the pocket is because of the fact that it is a, I'm looking for my chain.
It's behind you.
Okay, thank you. The reason for that is because when we're running down the street, we don't want to break our pectoral cross.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the kind of pectoral chain that is used when you're wearing a house casting. By being able to shorten it, I can shorten it for when I'm wearing it around a shirt and a jacket. It gets lengthened when I'm going to be using it with my house cassock because this particular right here, you see the miter is on the back of a hook, and that gets hooked into this part of the house cassock so that when he's working in the office or teaching, when he turns around, it doesn't spin around and break, because many of our pectoral crosses are soft metals like gold. And the other thing is that somebody once asked me about the difference between silver and gold.
Correct.
It's a matter of taste. There's no such thing as I wear gold when I'm here, I will wear silver when I'm there. Has no, that's not even a connected issue.
Now,
it's a matter of taste.
But now, when I was in Rome, all of the bishops who were in house casting, all of them had silver.
Yeah.
They all had silver crosses and silver chains. Now, but the, of course, the Pope is the Bishop of Rome.
Right.
But other bishops that were native to Italy, maybe I'm thinking maybe it was the cardinals. The cardinals had gold. But all the visiting bishops had silver. So was that a out-of-diocese thing?
It's deferential. And the reason for that, when you have bishops coming from countries where there's no money,
that's right.
To say gold would be a moment for them to go through an embarrassment. And this is a way of being able to include.
Include. Well, you really see that in the Anglican Church, particularly in Africa.
Right.
You will see them maybe wearing a rope.
I will see them wearing a rope. I had a bishop come to me one day who was wearing a sun catcher, and it made me cry. It was a plastic sun catcher because he came from the poorest of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my pectoral cross off, and I handed it to him.
Wow. Well, this is Bishop David Chaney. I'm here with Bishop Keith Ackerman, former 8th Bishop of Quincy, Illinois, and now Bishop Vicar of Quincy, and he's also our Bishop Protector. We're here at St. Timothy.
Oh, he's our bishop protector. He's our bishop protector. He's a black guy who towers over this little guy, and this black guy who's a giant next to this little white guy. But the little white guy is his bishop protector. You can't make this stuff up. You just can't make it up. Just can't. Now, let me play this video. This is J. Delano Ellis, because he claims... that they have everything concerning the vestments down pat. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Every month or so, there's a new promotion, a new installation, a new consecration. Boy, we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I keep asking myself, for what? And because we are so accustomed to focusing on the present, how many of us are really planning for the future of our organizations and our churches? How many of us have a succession plan? I mean a succession plan beside our sons or our daughters, our natural family, our dynastic kind of thing. Well, we need to think about it, because if we don't, our organizations, as great as they may be, will die shortly after we're off the scene. Now you tell me, isn't that a worthwhile discussion? Isn't that a worthwhile series of thoughts? Meet us at the Joint College this March. Go online, hurry up. collegeofbishops.org. Register. I need to see you there. We are past the rules. We got that down pat.
No, you don't have it down pat, because those two brothers, said you were confusing things. No, those two brothers said that you guys don't know what you're doing, that you're mixing and matching. So you don't have it down pat.
We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings and things.
No, you don't know how to put it on, because you're not following after the due order. Now you may have Shamirs, you may have Ratchets, you may have Cassocks, you may have a bunch of stuff, but the colors don't match, the piping's not the same. You're messing everything up. You're an embarrassment. Those Anglican brothers are both agreeing that you guys don't know what you're doing. So you don't have anything down pat. Like they said, you're bringing confusion. Bunch of illiterates over there and the Joint College of African American Bishops. Confusion.
Some of us look like Darth Vader. Now, you get to the college and find out how you might preserve legacy, not jewelry. I'll see you there.
No, you won't. No, you won't. You won't see me there. You'll never see me there because my Lord Jesus said, come out from among her, ye my people, that you may not partake of her plagues. God will judge, and he will judge severely the heart of church. For mighty is the Lord God who judgeth her, Revelation 18:8. No, you won't see me there. Now, when Paul said, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:33. 1 Corinthians 14:33. The Apostle Paul said, for God is not the author of what? Confusion. He's not. God is not involved with confusion. Well, obviously, listen, I can tell you straight up, God is not involved with the Joint College of African American Bishops. He's not hooked up to that communion of Anglican charismatic leaders. No. He's not hooked up to Rome. God is not involved with any of that. The word confusion in the Greek. Akatastasia. Akatastasia. The Greek word, the a negative, kata down, and stasi standing. It denotes a state of disorder. When you have confusion, you have disorder. You have disturbance. You have a tumult. You have mental confusion. God is not the order. God is not the God of disturbance. He's not the God of disorder. He's not the God of commotion and tumult. He's not the God of confusion. He's not the God of these people. He's not. But as you can see, even the confused, because those two men who were talking are downright confused. If they think the gospel is about clothing and colors and piping and vestments, and when do you wear this, and if I'm in parliament, do I wear that, and what kind of clothing do I wear in the house? We wear the house cassock with the rope, not the chain. And you know, remember, if you're in first in line, it means this. If you're in the middle of the line, it means that. If you're the last in line, it means this other thing. And if you're not in line, it means this other thing. Who cares? I mean, to keep up with all of these stupid rules. Those two men who were talking in that video, though well-versed they were in Roman Catholic canon law, they are authors of confusion, for that is not the gospel. But they turn around and say, if you think we're confused, there's some Pentecostals out there who are more confused than we are, because they're messing everything up. They're messing the color codes up. They're messing the piping up. They don't know where to stand in line, what to wear in the house, what to wear in parliament, what to wear if you're in Rome. They just don't know. They're just junior varsity. They're just wannabes. And that's what I've been saying all along, my brothers and sisters. Now, if the Joint College of African American Bishops can get vestments wrong and introduce confusion when it comes to vestments, think of the profound confusion they've introduced into the black church with their stupid elevation services, with their bogus claims to apostolic succession. Think of the nonsense that these people have promoted. It is horrific. It is mind-boggling. It is shameful. And that's proposition number 40. The Joint College of African American Bishops is considered by many in Romish Anglican circles to be fostering confusion by changing long-established Episcopal dress codes. This proves once again that the Joint College of African American Bishops is not of God, for he is not the author of confusion, and the Joint College of African American Bishops is now in the process of confusing everything that is of God, which includes the gospel of Jesus Christ, which includes the office of the episcopacy. They are distorting the biblical meaning of episcopacy. They're introducing error. They're perverting the gospel. They're corrupting the faith. They are leavening the church. And all of this breeds confusion. But God is not the author or the founder of the Joint College of African American Bishops. The devil is. The devil is. And that concludes today's proposition. Dear Saints, I'll be back in studio tomorrow to present proposition number 41. God bless you. Until then.
That word.